can gather together like this in this beautiful country of ours in such freedom. And I thank you, Lord, that as your word goes out, that it goes out with power, that your word does not return void, but that it does accomplish all that you have for it to accomplish. That in all that is said, that all is done, that the name of Jesus, the King of Kings, is exalted in this place this morning. And Father, that all the praise and honor and glory goes to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I need to start off and say, Happy Father's Day to all the dads. Huh? Happy Father's. Happy Father's Day. Do you know, it might be a bit loud there. I don't know. Am I getting an echo here? It is loud, yeah. You know, folks, it's good to be a man. It's good to be a man. Isn't it, men? Hey, I think I'm going to go share this message somewhere else. Eh? Is it good to be a man?
Yes.
Yeah, of course it is. And in fact, some of the ladies are sitting here and saying, why? Why is it good to be a man? Well, I'm so pleased you asked that question, so I'll tell you. Do you know why? One of the reasons that we can get onto our phones and we can speak for 30 seconds and the call is done. It's good to be a man. Do you know that we can go away as men? We can go away for a five-day holiday and we can take one little suitcase. It's good to be a man. Huh? You know, also we can be sitting, you know, watching TV and you know what we do? We go clickety-click, clickety-click like this. But you know, while we are doing that, clicking through the TV channels, as guys, we don't have to stop every time we see somebody emotional, somebody crying. It's great to be a guy. Huh? And another thing, that mechanics tell you the truth. Huh? Isn't that true, ladies? You know what it's like. You go to a mechanic, go and have your car serviced. But when we go, they seem to tell us the truth. Something else. We can admire James Bond without starving ourselves to look like him. Good to be a guy, huh? It can be another. We go to a party or a function, and another guy arrives wearing the same suit as us. It's just possible that we might become best buddies in life. Folks, I'm going to keep it short here today because I know that it's Father's Day, and many of us are going out for. I mean, I know a lot of us are not here because we had Father's Day breakfast. And I know that some of us are going to Father's Day lunches as well. But I want to start off and share something. I think it's important for us. And I've given this message a title. And the title is, what did I call it? A Toolbox for Father's Day. A Toolbox for Father's Day. You know, us guys, you know, we like toolboxes. Now, I've got a whole lot of, how can I say, tools in my garage. But inside, my wife has been very gracious. She's given me two little, you know those little ice cream tubs? Huh? You know those ice cream tubs? She's given me two of them that I'm allowed to keep my tools, that many tools inside. So I've got some screwdrivers, I've got some Allen keys, I've got a couple of pairs of pliers, I've got some sticky tape and some glue. And I'm allowed to keep those two little boxes in my pantry or her pantry. But man, oh man, you know, if I leave them out. But what's very interesting is that those two little toolboxes, those two little plastic ice cream tubs, they come out quite often. And they spread around the house and they just keep our house in order anyway. Folks, I've got a big toolbox here. Can you see it? What color is it? Red. Okay, can you see my red toolbox that I'm holding here? So I'm going to speak about this toolbox and what's on the inside of it. But let me say this. My message today, it's Father's Day, so my message is for dads. But this message is not just for dads. It's for moms. It's for granddads. And it is for grannies as well. So when I use the term dad, I'm talking to you. Is that okay? This is for all of us. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. How many of you have heard that? How many of you have actually said that phrase? Because, you know, it sounds good. It's got like a nice little ring to it, hasn't it? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Folks, we ourselves have probably used that phrase at some point in our life to encourage somebody where somebody has said something terrible about them. And, you know, just as an encouragement, we just kind of use that phrase. But let me tell you something. That phrase is not true. It's not true. Okay? There are many people out there who have been hurt, deeply hurt, by the words that have been spoken over them or about them by other people out there. And the reality of this is that the words that we speak have power. Is that true? When was it? Maybe a month ago, maybe 2 months, I can't remember. I spent the morning speaking about the power in the words that we actually speak out. And it would be a good idea to go to our website and maybe listen to that message again. But really, the reality is that our words have power. So they have power to hurt and hurt deeply, and they have power to help and assist as well. No one's words have more influence in the life of a child than it's the child's parents. Is that true? What we speak over our children. And I want to say it is the parents, but especially the dads. Especially the dads. Now, in the Old Testament, we see it often, time and time again, the father's blessing was of huge value. And it influenced, and it not only influenced, but it kind of determined the direction of the life that that child would take. And we often see this in the Old Testament, you know, blessings being given. We see Isaac, he blessed Jacob, and we see that in Genesis 27. And then we see Israel or Jacob, where he blesses his 12 sons. We see that in Genesis chapter 49. In fact, let me read that. Genesis 49, verse 28, it says, "All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. This is what their father said to them as he blessed them." So when we are speaking, in our context, when, as dads, when we are speaking over our children, it needs to be words of blessing. As he blessed them, blessing each with a blessing suitable for him. And we know, we've all read that. You know, there was a different blessing for each one of them. But the blessings that these children actually received from their fathers influenced their lives because of those words, those blessings that were actually spoken over them. And even today, folks, how a father speaks over his child or his children, how he blesses them, has a huge, huge impact on the life of the child and also on of the future of the child. What we say over our children. So I said today is Father's Day, and I want to give all the dads here, and not just the dads, the future dads, I want to give us a present. And it is a toolbox. Can you see it here? Can you see it? What color was it?
Red.
Did you see this red toolbox? So inside this toolbox, this big red toolbox that I have in front of me, yeah, right? I want to unpack and open this toolbox and just give us dads, and remember I said for everyone, I'm talking to dads there, just some tools in terms of how we speak and interact with our children. So we're going to be having a look at the word here today to assist us with all of this. But tool number one, what color is it?
Red.
Red, yeah, okay. Tool number one in this beautiful big red toolbox that I've got here. The blessing of an encouraging word. There's a blessing when we speak to our children and we speak with encouraging words, right? These are words of affirmation. These are words that build up our children. And as dads, we need to be speaking life into our kids. We see in Ephesians, I want to read Ephesians 4:29, it says, "Let no corrupt corrupting talk. In other words, that's unwholesome talk. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion. And as dads, we need to be mindful of this, that the words that we're speaking over our children is building them up, It then goes on to say that it may give grace to those who hear. And that grace is really where, let's say, it benefits those that hear. So there it is. So dads, is the only thing, I'm asking us, is the only thing that is coming out of our mouths something that is helpful in building up our children? We bless our kids as we speak to them, continually speak to them, right? Another question, how do we encourage our children? How do we do it? And there are a few ways that we can do it with our words. And I want to just focus on words at the moment, and then we'll move on to another tool that's in this big red toolbox that we have here. All right? So one way is to, you know, is to encourage them with words of acceptance, to encourage them with words of affirmation, and to encourage our children with words that demonstrate love, that they just know that dad, that we love them. You know, it's interesting, you know, when God actually spoke to the nation of Israel through Jeremiah, this is what he said. This is now God speaking to Israel. Jeremiah 31:3. He says, and this is, we can do this with our kids as well. God saying to the Israel, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I'll say it again. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. So God is basically telling Israel two things right there. The first one is that I love you. I love you. Okay? And again, these are words of affirmation. God speaking to a nation. And this is us speaking to our children as well. Words of affection. Sorry, it's a word of affection when we speak to our kids like this. And our children need to hear these words, folks. We need to say these to our kids. And they need to hear it, and they need to hear it coming out of our mouths. Don't just think it. You know, so often we think, you know, about our children and how wonderful they are, and they are wonderful. But we need to open our mouths and actually speak it out and actually tell them as well. So that's the first thing that we see over there, right? Number one, that there is affection. The second thing that God says over Israel, he tells them that his love is everlasting. His love is everlasting. And again, these are now words of acceptance. Words of acceptance. I will love you. I will love you no matter what, right? We might not like, when it comes to us dads and our children, we might not like what our children are doing or what they're up to. Huh? Is that right? How many of you have noticed that? But folks, dads especially, we just love our kids. We need to just love them no matter what. I love you no matter what. But I might not like what I see that you're doing. In other words, my love for you, my son, my daughter, is not about what you do, and it is not about what you don't do. I just love you. And this is how God loved Israel. We just love them. I love you no matter what. And again, you know, we need to, as dads, we need to talk to our kids like this. They need to know that us dads, that we accept them just as they are, just like Jesus. You know, I was thinking about this. Jesus, remember last week I spoke about how he inclined with the so-called sinners. So, with Jesus, he loved the sinner, but he hated the sin. Is that right? With our kids as well, we love them no matter what. But some of the things that they get up to, we might not be very, very happy about. You know what I used to do with my two boys when they were little, when they were small? It was so interesting. I don't know how I got doing this to them. I would say to them, Jono, Matthew, okay, bring your ear over here. I don't know where I got that from. Bring your ear over here. I want to tell you something. And then they would come over, and when I was small, man, and I would say, I love you. I love you. I love you. All right? So they got used to it. And then, you know, I would just say to them, hey, just bring your ear over here. And they would kind of giggle and, you know, oh, Dad, come on. But you know what? Every time they would come. They would come. Why? Because they wanted to hear it. They wanted to hear Dad telling them that he loved them. And that's why I'm saying we need to do this with our children. Just tell them how much you love them as well. And then another way of using words is, you know, words of appreciation. We need to appreciate our children, folks. Dads, right? You know, Paul, the apostle, the great apostle Paul, remember he was Saul? And he was on a journey on a road to Damascus, and he had an encounter with the Lord. And his name changed. I mean, he was out there taking out Christians. We know he was even there at the stoning of Stephen, and well done, guys. And he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, his name was changed from Saul to Paul, and he went on to write, what, approximately two-thirds of the New Testament under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That same guy. Now, what Paul did, Paul went out there and, you know, he was on apostolic missions and he would plant churches and he would move on. So, but he used to communicate with these churches and watch what, you know, I'm talking about words of appreciation. Often he would start his letters off. As he wrote to that church, he would start with appreciation. I'll give you a couple of examples. We see Philippians 1 verse 3, chapter 1, right in the beginning. As he wrote to the church in Philippi, he said, I thank God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So he would write to them, but he would start off by just, hey, guys, I just appreciate you, man. I just appreciate you. We see it again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. Writing to the church in Thessalonica. We always thank God for all of you. There it is, just appreciating them. We always thank God for all of you as we remember you in our prayers. In the presence of our God and Father, we never forget that your faith is active, your love is working hard, and your confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ is enduring. So there it is. Even Paul wrote to the churches, appreciation. And dads, we just need to appreciate our children, really, and show them that we appreciate them. And so we see here that Paul actually recognized the importance of telling other people, you know, just sharing, but the way he would speak, that he would just make sure that they knew that he appreciated them. And the same is with us today, specifically when it comes to our children. Huh? So question, do we stop and appreciate our children for who they are and for what they do? Now, this is important. We appreciate them for who they are and for what they do, because we love our children regardless of whether they excel or whether they don't excel. Our love for our children is not based on performance. We just love them. Okay? But we need to also appreciate what they do. We do, you know, when they do stuff. Because this kind of encourages them to, you know, kind of push on. And when they do well and they excel, you know, it brings glory to the Lord as well. So we need to encourage our children with this. And so often, you know, we'll go out there and we criticize our children. Why do we do it? We criticize our kids in hope that it will encourage them to improve in a certain area. Is that true? That's That's why we criticize, hoping that, well, that with that criticism, you know, they're going to improve. But folks, let me tell you this, or dads, let me say, that if we do not present this criticism, if we don't do it properly, it can have the reverse effect. It can have the opposite effect. And I want to give us two examples of this. Your child, let's say little Johnny. Old Johnny always gets it, eh? Little Johnny comes home. Hey, it's the end of term. And he comes up to dad and he's got an envelope in his hand. And it's a report card. So he runs up to his dad and he's all bouncing. And yeah, dad, here's my report card. So what happens? Dad opens it and he sees, you know, English, Afrikaans, math, science, geology, biology, blah, blah, all the way down, all these things. And he sees next to each one, A, 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 all the way, go all the way. And the last one, he sees a B. And the first thing that comes out of dad's mouth is, okay, what happened, you know, that you got a B, that you got a B for art? I'm just saying, folks, all right? We, you know, we can do that, and it can be really discouraging. In other words, you know, they reach a point where, you know, encouraging them. We should be focusing and just saying really well done on all those A's, because that child could actually take that and eventually just throw up his hands or her hands and say, you know what, nothing's ever good enough. Nothing's ever good enough. And in a way, we discourage them. So I'm saying let's also recognize and acknowledge, dads, what our children do. Another example. Now, this is an example. It's actually a story. There was a lady that moved into a small town. It was back in the early 1900s, and she went to the local store. So she's new in town. Where's this senior? So she's new in town, so she goes to the local store, and she's served, but the service is atrocious. She's new in town. The service is atrocious. It's absolutely awful, right? But she's got a plan. She happens to know the lady who lives next door to the shop owner. So, you know, it's a neighbor right there. So she goes over and she actually, you know, it's a friend of hers. So she informs this friend of how bad the service was at that shop. Deep down hoping, you know, that this lady is going to go to her neighbor and say, listen, you know, this new lady in town, she really thinks it's your service is terrible, you know, in your shop. But this lady goes back to the shop, and when she goes in the next time, she goes in and the owner is all over here. He arrives, he meets her at the door as she walks in. He's got a smile from ear to ear. He's just a happy chappy. He's taking her around. Can I help you with this? Can I help you with that? And he's just gone overboard. And she's just blown away. So what happens? She gets to have a chat to her friend again. You know, she the lady that she spoke to, that she complained to, that was she was hoping would tell the neighbor. She's talking to her, and she says to this lady, she says, you know, did you tell him how bad his service was? And this lady says, she says, you know, I hope you don't mind, but instead, I actually told him how great you thought his shop was and how great you thought the service was. All right? And the point is here that our words of encouragement are sometimes so much more powerful than our words of criticism. Look, in this situation, I'm saying don't go and lie, right? Maybe she lied there. But we can find ways of encouraging our children instead of, you know, just kind of criticizing them. So what I'm saying is our words, the words we speak over them, is important that we bless our children. But there's another tool in this toolbox, this big green toolbox. Oh, the red toolbox. All right. And this is the blessing, dads, of a loving touch. There's something in it, eh? There's something in it. Now, we see in 1 John 3:18, it says, little children, We must stop loving in word and in tongue, but instead love in action and in truth. Right? That's what the word says. But this verse is not saying that we must stop loving with our words. It is basically saying that we must love with our words, but with action. We need to show action as well. And really, just think about it. You know, dad's just giving their children, you know, kind of a touch, you know, pat on the back with a big smile, body language. It's really good for our kids. It's really good for our kids. Also, we see in the Old Testament that often that the blessings were accompanied by, you know, touch as well. So there's something about physical touch. So dads, hug your kids. Hug them, right? Kiss them. Give them a big kiss on the cheek, right? Put your arms around them, maybe while we're watching TV with them. Or put your hand on their shoulder. Now, it was quite interesting with our boys. You know, if they were sitting there watching TV, the one liked to be tickled and the other one liked to be scratched. Don't get it mixed up, right? Don't get it mixed up. But that's just the way they were, right? So, but I also want to say, now that you know that it's a good idea to give your son a kiss, for example, don't wait until you drop him off at school when all his mates or lined up and he's just about to go into school and you jump out of the car and you run around and you grab him and you give him a big kiss on the cheek. Huh? Johnny is not going to appreciate that. All right. Okay, so let's just use a little bit of wisdom in all of this. There's one more tool in this big red toolbox to bless our children. And folks, this is the blessing of the father's faith, dad's faith, dad's faith. Now it says in Joshua 24, verse 15, it says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And that should be what we say in our home as well. As for me, as a dad, I'm talking to dads now, right? Me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And it's interesting because Joshua understood where the blessings actually come from. He understood, he understood that. It's going to come from having a relationship with the Lord. That's where the blessings come. Tell the person next to you, the blessings come from having a relationship with the Lord. So I want to say, dads, if you truly want to bless your children, we need to pass something on to them. We need to pass this on to them. Pass faith on to them. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our main responsibility, we heard it even today, is dads to lead our families. Right? We lead our families and we need to lead our families well. And especially when it comes to the spiritual things. Our children need to see dad reading his word. Our children need to see dad praying. Our children need to see, you know, dad just spending time meditating on the word of God, whatever it might be. Because there's a good reason for that. Because you cannot pass on something that you don't have. You're not going to do it. You can't pass on something that you don't have. And we need to make sure that we pass on our faith to our children and to the next generation and to the next generation. You know, in my day, it was a little bit different. Okay? My day, it was, you do as I say and not as I do. Huh? Did you ever hear that? Maybe you younger guys have never heard that before. All right? But in our day, if you, I mean, how old am I? 27. No. But seriously, in our day, I often used to hear, don't do as I do as I say. And folks, we need to lead our families. We need to lead our children, and we need to lead them by example. Huh? So as dads, we need to set the example so that we can pass that on to our children, and in turn, they'll pass it on to the next generation as well. You know, Joshua passed on his faith to his children, and not just to his children, it was to others that he had influence over as well. In Joshua 24, verse 31, listen to this. It says, Israel served the Lord. Now, do you remember Israel? Man, I don't know if you read the book of Kings. There's a good king and a bad king, and a bad king and a good king, and a good king. It just goes on and on and on. Huh? And you would think that the new king would have, I mean, he's got a track record of what's happened to his father, who was a bad king. But they choose to be bad kings. Anyway, it says, Israel served the Lord. This is now Joshua. All the days of Joshua. So when Joshua was the leader, it says that Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. So when Joshua passed on, that legacy, it was something that was planted in there. You know, other people were still serving the Lord, as had known all the work that the Lord did for Israel. So his faith was passed on to the next generation. His faith would have been passed on to his children and to other people that he led as well. So I want to say, dads, yes, it's our responsibility, man. Let's make sure that we pass on our faith to our children. Huh? And trust, too, that is passed on to our grandchildren as well. The word is so clear. Train. To train someone doesn't come through osmosis. You know what osmosis is? It's when two solutions of different concentration are separated by a semipermeable membrane. A receptacle exchange of water molecules take place. They say more water molecules move from a higher to a lower concentration than vice versa. All right? Okay, so faith, this faith doesn't come by osmosis. It needs to be dads that pass down, you know, to the next generation and so on. So folks, there are things that we need to make sure that we do to bless our children. And you know what it starts off with? It starts off with making a decision. It starts off with commitment. Committing. The way we are, as dads, we are committed to raise our children in the things of God. To raise them God's way. Commitment. To make sure that our children rely on the Lord. That our children experience that grace, that which is that unmerited favor from the Lord. Amen? Amen. Dads, are we going to do it? Amen. Future dads, are we going to do it? Amen. Granddads, are we going to do it? Praise the Lord. Thank you, as I close my big red toolbox and we just put it one side. Bless you guys. Will the worship team come up?